from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is It's Optional with Trey Wallace, Chance Collins, and Brandon Johns. What do you see?
Dobbs heaves it. They're bunched up in the end zone. It's tipped up. It's caught. It is caught. Jawan Jennings.
And he just dumps it off for a first down.
Throws it, fakes the spike. And it ends up touchdown. Whoa! Jordan Lasley. The legend of Josh Rosen.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap. And the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State.
It's Optional. Hour number two rolls on. We'll have Stephen Bailey on from the Syracuse.com. He'll join us to talk about Colgate basketball at 2:15. Had a great time during the break talking about getting toss stories between me, Ben, and Brandon back in our high school days and even our CYO and Upward Bound days. God, man, they're the best. So we can't talk about them on air because I would like not I'd like to continue having this job and being able to cover things later on down the road. But maybe we'll do a podcast about that later on. Your craziest exit from a game. Yeah, you can call in if you can keep your language at PG. 865-546-8200. What's the wildest moment you've ever been tossed out of a game? If you do call in, please keep it PG. We are on the radio
fan
right
or
now. Yeah, fan or what?
Fan or playing.
Yeah,
you know, the last one I told you at the break,
right.
I was a fan just at the game
right.
Watching.
Yeah.
Ben, you're getting tossed. I'll save him the trip.
Right. That's true. We were talking about one. I cussed out a priest who was on the bench of a soccer team that I was with. But it was his fault. He was talking mess, too. He was just doing it in a PG way or a G-ray. And I went full PG-13R on him after, you know, one of my boys got cleated. So that wasn't fun. So we'll continue to talk about that. I'm looking ahead to, also this stood out to me, Bill Belichick, Butch Jones, and Nick Saban. They're all talking to each other. What do you think they're talking about? That's what happened to Pro Day. The picture's out there. I think it's funny. Hopefully people are over.
Does Butch have a title yet?
No. He is still going to be in an off-the-field role.
Really?
He don't care.
Well, he turned down the tight ends like an actual coaching job,
he's
right?
Smart. Would you rather get a $200,000 check a month or a $30,000 check a month? $200,000 and stay at Bama, be an off the field role.
I mean, yeah, you're still gonna get some. You're still gonna get stuff from Tennessee.
Oh, this is okay. Breaking news. Breaking news coming out of Florida. Robert Kraft offered deal in Florida prostitution case, per report.
Yeah, I saw that. Prosecutors have offered to drop solicitation charges against Robert Kraft.
That's some crap.
An unusual deal that calls for admitting he would have been found guilty.
What the hell kind of deal is that? Yeah, I would have been found guilty. Wink, wink. I'm not.
That's how plea deals typically work, right? It's like...
I get that. I get the whole...
It's dumb.
Plea deals, though, you usually have to put in sometimes you have to put in like a, it's not a guilty verdict, but, I mean, this is a little different. You're trying to drop charges of soliciting a prostitute to say, yeah, I didn't do it, but I did do it.
Yeah.
I mean, so you're still soliciting the prostitute.
There's a few, like, legal angles he could take defense-wise where you could get out of it, though. If he said... He didn't solicit it, and she just did it. And because she did it, he tipped her afterwards. But I mean, if there's
hold on a second, is that not still prostitution?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
What's the difference?
Isn't that where the money's on the drawer? Money's on the counter, or whatever it's called, right? Like money's on the dresser.
If he didn't ask for it, it's not solicitation.
He didn't ask. Okay,
that's my point.
Okay,
and then you throw down an $80 tip on the table. I mean, what?
It's like if a
so when you're out there serving,
if you give someone a free dessert and they tip more, okay.
You're out there serving. Robert Kraft says, "Hey, buddy, help me out. I'll throw you down a hundo."
I would give him a free dessert. I don't think I'm quite his type.
That argument's pretty damn stupid.
It's not.
What are you getting, a cherry on top?
That's literally what soliciting means, is you proposition them. If he says he didn't, then
that's
they'd
stupid.
Have to drop it.
The agreement offered to Kraft and the other men charged with soliciting would require that they admit that they would have been found guilty at trial, the Wall Street Journal reports. According to the report, the agreement also requires an education course about prostitution, community service, screening for STDs, and payment of court costs.
Oh, you just didn't know she was a prostitute.
That makes sense now.
Okay.
Oops. We're going to need you to come sit through this 6-hour class on STDs, prostitutes.
All right, Bob. Woman one. Prostitute.
Woman two. A soccer mom.
I'm still on board with him. I think he's got
I want to see the flash-up graphic of the two blacked-out figures. Woman one, accepts money for sex. Woman two, drives minivan. Which one should you be associating with, Bob?
I don't get it. I don't understand it. Why are they offering? Look, how much are they paying the defense attorney? How much are they they must be contributing to, like, the Florida Highway Safety Patrol in, like, a major way to get these charges dropped.
Yeah.
You know how big a news this was 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago?
I hadn't heard anything from it since, honestly.
Well, they've kept it quiet. They know what they're doing here.
I'm still waiting for the other 50 names that were supposed to have bigger draw than Robert Kraft.
Yeah, that was Adam Schefter getting played by Robert Kraft.
Oh, probably, really?
Or his attorney. One or the other. Yeah, Schefter, don't worry about that. There's bigger names involved in this. Text. Some of the stupidest thing. Whatever. If he gets off because of that and just agrees to it, some weird plea deal.
He's going
to
get off.
Right.
As he should, though. You know, in more ways than one. I see what you did there. But
you're not supposed to say it, you moron.
Man, no respect around here.
I do have respect.
No respect.
I like that you brought it to light.
Thank you. Yeah. I see what you did there.
Thank you.
It happens. You know, God, I had a good one right there, but I held off on it. That's what she said. So the agreement offered, I don't agree with the whole part where they should get out of the judicial system and have to go to some class and watch a video. If you're going to put him through the ringer that much for that kind of case, you might as well charge him with some kind of misdemeanor. I mean, I get you can get pretrial and all that type of stuff, but I'm just saying in general.
They're already getting their payday out of it, right? I mean, like, that's what it all really comes down to.
So Alan Bell from 247 just quote tweeted the story and said, for admitting, quote, he would have been found guilty. Incredible. Like, and that sounds stupid. We had a badass case on you if we'd have gone to court. You would have been found guilty, wouldn't you? Yes, sir.
Yep.
Yes, sir. I'd have been found guilty. Ah. You have a crap load of... Okay. You're good.
You win this round, Bob.
You're good, Bob. You're good. Don't worry about it. We'd have got you, though, wouldn't we? We'd have taken you down, wouldn't we? Yes, sir, you would. Okay. Long as you admitted it. Long as you called uncle.
We're good.
You're good. Yeah. You're good. Pay some fines. You're good. What the hell? That's the stupidest thing in the world. Yet what's he gonna do? Is a part of the terms he's got to hold a press conference and say, you know what, I would have been found guilty, but no, I'm not guilty.
Part of the terms probably doesn't ever go back to Jupiter, Florida.
He can't. He has a house there. You have to sell your house, dude.
You got to sell your house.
Bob.
Proceeds go to the Jupiter Police Department.
You have to sell your ownership stake in the spa as well. I tell you, it's the stupidest thing in the world. I don't get it. I don't get it. For admitting he would have been found guilty. Like, when you enter a not guilty plea, or you even enter a plea deal, a plea deal is almost like, in a sense, where, okay, I know I might not have done this thing, but there's enough circumstantial evidence that if they went in front of a jury might be like, oh, okay, the defendant literally might be not guilty, but the evidence that they have
is way stacked against you.
Right.
It's,
I mean, you
it's
know.
It's kind of the, I can't remember his name, I want to say Luke Heimel situation from Oregon State.
Yeah.
He's a pitcher that, over there.
Oh, yeah. We won't get into the details.
The details, but,
but
essentially, you know, he kind of felt like he at least what he says is he took bad legal advice and took a plea deal where
to
he pled guilty
it.
And admitted to something to where, you know, he kind of thought it would just kind of be pushed out of the way, done with.
It involved the child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Here's my thing with that, though. If I was ever accused of that, I don't care what plea deal they're doing. I am never admitting that I did that if I didn't actually do it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Well, it reminds me of, I'm going to go back to the same darn movie I always go to, Lincoln Lawyer. You remember when Lincoln Lawyer, Matthew McConaughey, he has that, what's his name, Pina, the actor? He's in a bunch of good movies.
This is not one of the movies I've seen.
No, you got to see Lincoln Lawyer. But he tells his defendant, hey, look, they have so much evidence on you, you have to plead guilty to this. And he's like, I'm not guilty. Later on in the movie, in the story, like 3 years later, he found out he's not guilty for what he did. So that's what I'm getting at with these pleas. Like, it doesn't make sense. I mean, you know, Wall Street Journal's headline is, as we go out, prosecutors have offered to drop solicitation charges against Robert Kraft, an unusual deal that calls for admitting he would have been found guilty. Thank you for my Lincoln Lawyer music on the way out. Coming up next, Stephen Bailey. We're going to break down Colgate versus Tennessee. I know you all have been waiting on this for the last 2 days. Time to talk some Volunteer Hoops next. It's Optional rolling along here on Fox Sports Knoxville today. Time to talk tourney. Time to talk Tennessee versus Colgate. Coming up Friday, 2:45, Colgate, the 15 seed. I've been watching some film over the last 2 days on them, starting to get familiar with them. And here to do that as well with us, it's covered Colgate during the season this year and definitely kept up with it with Syracuse.com up there. In the New York area, Stephen Bailey joins us. Stephen, good afternoon to you, buddy. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Absolutely. And we're getting to that time, man, where I know you're back and forth. You told me your schedule going from, you know, pro days and spring practice to basketball at Colgate, and I'm sure it's a busy time for year for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I cover the Syracuse football team throughout the year, but I've spent most of the last week up in Hamilton trying to get a better feel for this Colgate team. I was there for the Patriot League final where they beat Bucknell, and I've gotten to know some of the coaches and some of the players, and I'll be in Columbus for the game on Friday, so it's definitely an exciting time there.
Well, I look forward to hanging out then. That's let's dive right into this matchup. And I was going through, and I went back and watched the complete Bucknell game in the championship game last week, and one player that's really stood out to me with his shooting, and I know his point total was high, and I get that, but overall play was Jordan Burns. You wrote a story about Jordan Burns in point guard for Colgate. Kind of walk me through a little bit of his type of game and what you learned watching him and being around.
Yeah, sure. So Jordan is pretty kind of has kind of a story that you would expect for a guy in Colgate. He was basically told he was too small to play D1 ball in high school. He only had one offer out of high school to go to Colgate. He prepped, then he went there, and you know he's only a sophomore. So yeah, he dropped 35 on 6 threes, 6 assists in the final, playing through a chip bone in his left ankle. So he's been working through that since over the last couple months. He missed 5 games. He's been playing hurt, but when he's fully healthy, he's really a guard who can do it all. Still a little undersized, you know, compared to the high D1 guys, 6 foot, 175. He can drive right and left, finishes well with both hands, reads the screen game really, really well. And you know, when he's getting in a zone, he can be a hot shooter. So he's not necessarily statistically their best three-point shooter, but he's someone who teammates kind of described as someone who does rise to bigger moments. And when he does lock into a zone, he can take over a game just like he did against Bucknell. And that may mean scoring 35 points. It may mean having 10 or 12 assists. That's another thing the guys kind of said, is he can really bend his game to do those things. And, you know, I think if Colgate's going to play Tennessee tight, Jordan's one of the guys who will need to play well.
Thanks, Stephen. Now you've got everybody around here nervous. I mean, I watched the game. I don't think a lot of folks around here watch the Colgate versus Bucknell game. That's an interesting stat line, especially playing with a bone chip in his foot. Man, that's tough. When you look at this team and the way that I saw them play the other night, I've gone back and watched them play two games so far, and I tend to notice that they run a lot of screens. And then they try to pick off them screens and find the open three spot. It doesn't seem like they have too much of a post game, but they do rely heavy on the pick and roll and the in and out. Tell me a little bit about this basketball team that some might not know.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. So the other name to watch, and I think this is part of why they play that way, is Rapalus Ivanauskas. He goes by Rap, 6'10" power forward. 43% from range, really as a four-star recruit out of high school in Illinois, who had a really strong post game. His father played for UMass and then professionally overseas, and actually his cousin, Davidas Dokas, played for Florida State and made 8 threes in an ACC tournament game against North Carolina. So kind of guy who's always been around basketball, who had a polished post game in high school, went to Brewster, started to move out his range, and he actually went to Northwestern for 2 years. But he had 2 serious shoulder injuries that basically prevented him from playing. He appeared in 3 games for 11 minutes, and he was never really healthy. Ends up transferring to Colgate. It's a great story. I'm actually going to have something up on him later this week. Gets cleared by the NCAA for media eligibility the day of the season opener, and he ends up being Patriot League Player of the Year. So they run a lot of 1-4 pick and roll, pick and pop. I think Jordan and Rapp have really developed chemistry together. They're pretty good at reading a defense. You know, do they want to run the pick and pop, or if teams are going to switch, who's got the better mismatch? And then, look, there are still good players around them. Will Raymond is their small forward at 6'8". He's the team's captain. He can shoot and he can slash. I think he's kind of the complementary piece that they'll move around, and you know, he might play off another screen, or they might have him in some kind of separate action to work off that 1-4 ball screen. So they do some other stuff for sure, and I think you know, head coach Matt Langel and his staff understand that the space is going to be different against Tennessee, and they're going to have to do different things to create shooting room and all of those things. But yeah, Burns and Rapp, you know, those are the two guys who really are at the center of you know, the screen game that they have used a lot this year.
Stephen, when you look at this basketball team up there, and I'm familiar with their league that they play in, because I think a lot of people were familiar with the name Bucknell for a very long time. And I think when you say the word Bucknell, you really go to the basketball part of it. And I was familiar with a Colgate University, but that's just because I follow college basketball. A lot of people don't in that sense and follow different leagues. But what is it? What do you think it is about this Colgate team that got them on this run, and they're getting so much productivity? And how would you kind of sum up the atmosphere around the program? Like, what are Tennessee fans going to expect, you know, on Friday when they see this team take the court? What's the energy like? What's, you know, we're used to here in Knoxville, we're used to a group of guys that are, you know, very team oriented, very brotherly like. You know, one fly, they all fly type deal. What are we getting and going to see out of Colgate and Columbus?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think Colgate likes to believe they know who they are, and they have played in some big arenas. They play in Syracuse. I think most years they did this year. Pittsburgh, they played in Ohio State in the past. So while their court you know, Cotterill Court only holds, I think, 1,800 people. They have played in some larger venues. I'm really interested to see how they handle that environment. I think it's a pretty calm team, and I think they've taken on a little bit of their head coach's personality. Matt Langel played at Penn. He was a standout guard in a couple NCAA tournaments, and then he was retained as an assistant. He came back under Fran Dunphy and ended up at Temple, and he was actually there for Khalif Wyatt's sophomore year. So [S2] Oh, wow. [S1] So he's a teacher, and I've watched a few of their practices recently, and he is so hands-on. Like, his voice is always going. He's always providing some kind of instruction. He's not really a yeller, but he's loud enough to make himself heard. It's all about understanding where you should be and why you're doing this. And you see the players will ask him, well, if it's this player, you know, am I going above or below? And then these conversations are kind of constantly being had. And he likes to describe his team as thoughtful and intelligent. And, you know, I think this is a team who wants to, the players want to put themselves in the right places. I think there's a lot of trust that the group has kind of accrued over the course of the year. That Bucknell win was really, really important to all the guys coming back because they lost in the final to them by 30 last year. So to add Rapp from Northwestern and a freshman, Tucker Richardson, who's their starting shooting guard, you know, they've kind of been grouped into that culture. And I think especially with that Bucknell win, you're seeing a team that's really meshed. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see if that holds up in Columbus. Obviously, it's going to be a very pro-Tennessee crowd. And, you know, look, they haven't gone against a team like Tennessee, and Tennessee hasn't lost to a team like Colgate. So that's who they think they are, but, you know, we'll see on Friday.
How do you think, and two more questions, I know you got a busy day, but how do you think Colgate matches up? If you've gone back and seen any highlights of Auburn versus Tennessee, you saw where Auburn took advantage of Tennessee, and they did that the week before when it came to the three-point game. Is that something that Tennessee Hoops is probably over there right now at their training facility looking at and trying to figure out how do we stop these guys from getting hot behind the three-point line? Is that what Colgate's going to do and live and die by?
Well, I think so. Yes, the short answer is yes, but the long answer is Colgate knows that. You know, I was at Colgate's practice yesterday. They're expecting very tight on-ball defense. They're expecting, you know, to have their ball handlers be redirected, and you know that you're going to have to make forceful cuts. You're going to have to make, you know, hard screens and cut off the screens. And when you ball fake, you got to ball fake hard because you need to create space. You might need to go inside to get the ball back outside. You know, they're doing relocation drills, you know, two-on-two drills where a guard, you know, will drive and the off guard will relocate and you pass and then drive and relocate and you pass back. So it's going to be harder for Colgate to get to its spots. But, yeah, when they are playing well, they are a really, really good three-point shooting team. I think I saw someone else post this on Twitter, but they're the NCAA's best three-point shooting team since February 1st. I have not double checked that, but I saw another reporter tweet that. I mean, these guys can really shoot it. So that's definitely the recipe for them to win. It's certainly not the only way they can play, but it'll be more a matter of getting to those spots and how do you create the space when you match up okay in the front court height wise. Like they've got a few guys that are 6'8" to 6'10", and you know their centers are pretty big. You know, they don't move the same as you know, Tennessee is getting some of the best players in the country. You know, they don't move the same way, and especially in the backcourt, I think there is a little bit more of a size disadvantage. So how do you create that space? What actions can you do? And you know, yeah, if I'm Tennessee, I'm playing up, and I'm making them take the ball to the rack. You know, I'm making their bigs finish. You know, I'm trapping. You know, it'll be interesting to see how they play that 1-4 pick and roll, because Bucknell tried to take away Ivanauskas in the championship game, and Burns went off. So it really will be interesting. There's a lot of strategy kind of that I'm sure is being talked about on both sides.
How many three-pointers does Colgate have to make on Friday to beat Tennessee?
Wow, now that would be a good over-under for Vegas.
Exactly. Thank you.
Do they have to make? I have to say, how many they make a game up in front of me? I'm not cut out for this. A lot. That's where they're going to live for sure. I don't know what they average on the year. What's a lot for a game? 15?
Auburn shot 36 last.
Auburn shot 40 against Tennessee.
40, I'm sorry, 40.
They averaged 31 on the season. I believe Colgate's somewhere around 23 a game on the season.
Yeah.
I'd say they'd probably have to
make 10 or so. If Burns is hitting 6 and going off for 35.
Yeah, it's interesting, Stephen, the way it all gets broken down. And on your way out, what is – when we look at this game on Friday, and it's a 17.5 point spread, and I get that, and that's Vegas, blah, blah, blah. I don't buy into it too much because I've seen the teams play. What do you think is the one X factor that would lead to a potential any kind of win from Tennessee or Colgate?
Yeah, I mean, if aside from the three-point shooting thing, which to me is that's it for Colgate, but something that has caught them this year at times is foul trouble for Rapp. He didn't play most of the second half against Bucknell.
And, oh, wow.
He's someone who, while he's extremely polished on the offensive end, I mean, he very well could play at the next level. He's fiery, and, you know, I'm sure they're going to bump him. A couple calls go the wrong way on him. You know, it's not hard to see a situation where he gets into foul trouble again. And you know, to be fair to him, this is really his first season playing Division I basketball.
Right.
You know? So like, this guy, he'd say, he's like, I'm kind of like a freshman, but he just won Patriot League Player of the Year. So I think if you're Tennessee and you can get him in foul trouble, you know, the room that Burns had against Bucknell just won't be there against Tennessee. So that's one more thing to keep an eye on, but I really think it's going to come down to the three-point line unless Colgate's getting open layups off their actions. You know, they're going to need to make three.
Well, you just made everybody in Knoxville nervous, so I appreciate it. Stephen, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. I really do appreciate it. Please tell everybody, I just saw a piece that you were put up. I can't wait to read it here in just a minute on Jordan Burns. Please tell everybody where they can follow you and your great work leading up to this matchup.
Yeah, no problem. So Syracuse.com is the website, and then I'm on Twitter at Stephen with a PH underscore Bailey, BAILEY, the number one.
Stephen, thank you so much for joining us, buddy. I look forward to meeting you in Columbus on Friday, my man.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you, Stephen. Stephen Bailey with Syracuse.com. Great interview by him. Really good breakdown of Colgate, Benny. That was good.
Yeah.
Like, that was net. Uh-oh. I mean, there's a couple things he was saying. It was like, wait a minute. Unless they get open layups.
Unless they get these open threes. This Rapless guy kind of scares me, man. 16 points a game, 8 rebounds. He's 43% from three. And that's their 6'10 center.
And Patriot Player of the Year.
You guys good.
Oh, my God. We'll talk about that. We'll come back on the other side, and we'll break down this. Look, Stephen did a fantastic job. We're going to break that down, talk a little bit about Tennessee and Colgate. Are you a little nervous now, Tennessee fans, that you just heard the scouting report on Colgate? Call in 865-546-8200 on the McKinney Team Hotline. Love your thoughts on this as well. We'll be back.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there.
Stupid. Somebody tweeted out, do you think you could defeat in physical combat the most famous person who shares your first name, and who is that person?
I'm either fighting legitimately. I looked up most famous Ben, because I did Ben Lee, and I knew who that was. He's like an Australian singer-songwriter. I could mess that guy up. He looks like a wimp. I looked up most famous Ben. Other than that, it's just a bunch of clocks. Big Ben, obviously.
Right.
And Benjamin Franklin, which I think I could beat Ben Franklin's ass too.
Okay. I mean, I'm right now, you know, tweeting at Trey Anastasio and telling him to bring it on. Do you know who that is?
No. Is he a fighter of some sort?
You don't know who Trey Anastasio is?
Ben Affleck? You think I could beat up Ben Affleck?
No.
What?
No, you can beat up Ben Affleck. Not if he's full Batman. Now, if he's had a bunch of drinks.
Alcoholic maybe. Ben Affleck? Or is this like in his prime ripped for Batman Ben Affleck?
I'm talking even Good Will Hunting Ben Affleck you wouldn't be able to beat up.
Ben Stiller?
Oh, yeah. You got the reach on him. He's like, what, 5'4", 5'5"?
I don't know if you could beat up Ben Stiller.
I think I could. Actually.
I don't know.
Ben Shapiro?
Maybe the lawyer?
The, I don't know, super conservative guy.
Oh, God. I'd help you beat him up.
I was going to say, I kind of want to beat him up.
Yeah, no, I would help him. Let's go to the phone lines. John joins us now this afternoon on It's Optional. Good afternoon, John.
What's up? How are you?
How are you, buddy? What's on your mind, brother?
Colgate.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder how Kyle Alexander is going to have to deal with center. I have.
That's what Ben was talking about during the break.
Yeah, we were talking about during the break. He's got 15 pounds on Kyle. He averages about 10 more points, about one or two more rebounds. And like we've seen, Kyle has kind of shown he doesn't like to get down there and get bodied.
Right.
It's going to be it's going to be an interesting matchup, especially when they do their kickout game. What Colgate's going to do, and going back and watching them now, is they set a lot of high ball screens, and they are quick cutting to the basket. And if that doesn't work, they're kicking it out to the open man for the three. And there's a reason why they're good behind the three. Now, you look at the competition, and I understand that, and who they play and all that good stuff, but it really doesn't matter who you play. If you get hot behind the three-point arc, you get hot behind the three-point arc. I mean, they're – you can try to defend it all you want, and that's cool, and you can have lockdown. You can try not to let them get shots up. But, you know, if a team comes out and starts swinging the ball around like Auburn does, it could cause Tennessee a couple of problems.
Yeah, I think so, too. Also, they might, or at least my basketball mind, I think they'll try to bring Kyle out and then have that guy around the three-point line to you. Other guys like Grant, Admiral will have to lock up their man.
I can go ahead and tell you what I think they're going to do to start this thing off. They were talking about him, Ram, being, you know, getting in foul trouble.
Yeah.
I promise you that might pull the Kentucky game plan where they put Walker in 2 minutes into the ball game,
Goon.
And they grow, yeah. they go draw a foul like he did against P.J. Washington and Reed Travis.
I could see that.
I really think, you know, like it's going to start with this Burns guy for them.
Oh yeah, he's hot. Like he was rolling.
But we were talking about it in the break. But he averages 3 turnovers a game, and he's, you know, he's already a little bit undersized at 6 foot. I just feel like our guards with Lamonte and Jordan and even Bowden, they'll just come in and they're gonna make his life hell. Like I don't think he's gonna be able to get across half court comfortably.
I mean, so I'd probably put Lamonte on him. Or switch off with Lamonte and Jordan, or Bowden.
It's going to be interesting, John. What's your prediction for the game, buddy?
I think we win by 15.
15, okay. So you're going with the under.
Yeah.
Okay. That works out. Thanks, John, for calling.
Yeah, no problem.
17.5 is the spread. I mean, I could see Tennessee win about 17 points, you know, ending the thing up, you know, later on in the second half. Two things are going to happen here. Two things. Either Tennessee is going to come out and just stomp Colgate's ass, straight up, just be mad about this past weekend. They got fresh legs from 3 or 4, 4 days off, 5 days off, and they just come in there and beat them up. Or Colgate's going to get hot quick behind the three-point arc, and they're going to make this thing a game till midway through the second half. I think Tennessee, if they played the post game, they play their game, they could beat Colgate by 15 to 20 points. If you try to get into a peeing contest with Colgate, it's not going to turn out well.
I mean, like, their entire offense is really just these 2 to 3 guys.
It is. No, it is.
The rap guy and Jordan Burns are averaging 32, 33 points together.
Yeah.
And then they've got Will Raymond, who's their other forward, who's at 6'9", 210, 6'8", 210. Sorry, I give him a little generous there. And he's only averaging 13 points a game. So as long as I truly, it's just going to be, can we get Burns uncomfortable and slow him down from the three-point line? And can Kyle Size wrap up down in the paint and not let him stretch out to the three-point line? Because he is over 40% from the three-point line on the season. So he can get out there and knock him down. Your boy was right coming on. He said he's worked on that outside shot for a long time.
Yeah.
He can knock him down. Their starters all over 35% on the season. So
it gets interesting, man, how this thing's going to play out. We very, very open-minded to what Colgate can do before. I'm hoping to get up there in time to watch a practice or to at least a shoot-around, try to get comfortable with them. I still think that Tennessee will take care of business, but I think he makes a lot of good points. Tennessee's about to face another team that cuts to the ball well, screens well, shoots to three well. And when Tennessee faces those teams, it reared its ugly head again on Sunday that they had a hard time switching off their man as well. So, hey, is what it is. Is what it is. Just letting you know, Stephen Bailey was good, and I appreciate him coming on and talking about that as well. Something just came across Twitter that made me think twice about what the hell is going on.
What's going on?
CBS News put out there that Armando, the racing pigeon, has sold for a record $1.4 million.
You're killing me. You're killing me.
What's a racing pigeon?
Dang it,
pigeon?
That was one of his news of the days. I'm sorry, B.
I'll find some more.
I'm sorry, B.
Okay, we're coming up on it.
Yeah, we're coming up on news of the day. I look, it came across and it said racing pigeon.
I saw a cool history one, too, but I'm sure you've got it in there as well when it comes
to
tournament
basketball. And what am I supposed to do?
Oh, yeah, I do. I know what you're talking about. Yes, it's in there.
So it is what it is. Moving forward with that, oh, my God, people are making horrible memes about the Butch Jones, Nick Saban, and
the GOAT, Bill Belichick.
You think he's going to have this in his news of the day? I'm going to show you what the story is, and I'm going to ask you, do you think he's going to have it in his news of the day?
Is that from
Yes. Yes. That's that woman from Boo Boo.
No, I do not have it.
Okay.
So fire away.
Reality TV star Mama June from the Honey Boo Boo show was arrested on crack cocaine charges.
That seems about on brand. I can't say I'm shocked.
Look at that face.
Crack kills, folks.
She did lose a ton of weight.
That's because she. that's because TV gave her. You know, they did the
hundreds
whole
hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Well, no, they also paid for her surgery and all that stuff, and
crack.
Well, they pay her for crack as well. Yeah, but she got arrested in Alabama at a gas station.
Makes sense.
Damn it, don't do that. No, don't hate on
that. That's probably where she's from.
No, she's not.
Where's she from?
I don't know.
But Georgia. Georgia.
Yeah. Georgia.
Don't be hating on Alabama like that. We had Dog the Bounty Hunter in our state yesterday. Arresting somebody, but he was still in the state.
He was arresting somebody?
Yeah, but he was still in the state.
Is that going to be the latest episode?
It will be on his new show. He's starting some new show on WGN.
Oh.
Him and his
kid. Longer on A&E or whatever it's
called? No, they
canceled
that.
After the...
Yeah, whatever he did.
Racist incident?
I literally forgot what he did, but yeah, I remember him doing something.
It was kind of the same thing that happened with Hulk Hogan.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. I'm not saying yeah to throw it off. I'm saying yeah, I get it. I don't want to get into that discussion. it makes sense. Yeah, so Honey Boo Boo was not in the car with the crack or anything. So
that's good.
It was just Mama June. They got into an altercation at an Alabama gas station. Got into an argument. Police officer shows up and notices, oh, look,
crack.
There's crack in the car. What's that doing there? TV crews come out behind the dumpsters. We got him.
So back to Dog. Is he like in Alabama full time now? Or is
no,
he still doing
well,
like
his
a Hawaii
son,
thing?
His son Leland lives in Alabama now. I married some model. And they decided to live in Alabama, probably like Hoover or something.
Yeah.
And then, really nice.
I mean, like, basically the entire basis of the show was just chase down crackheads. So.
In Hawaii.
So, I mean, I guess
could have been worse.
We're relocating to Alabama where there's probably a nice little hub as well.
Oh, that's mean.
It turns out Mama June is traveling state lines just to get crack these days.
It's a recession-proof industry.
Well,
that dog's
that's a great headline.
Ooh. Boyfriend of Mama June threatened to kill her in Alabama parking lot. Both arrested on crack charges. That's the full story there.
That's it. He threatened to kill me. Oh.
Y'all on drugs?
but I forgot that the crack was there. It was in Macon County.
Where's that? Where's that in relation to?
It's nowhere close to Mobile, so don't worry about it. Okay. We're in the deep south. We're good. We're good. We're in the deep, deep south. We're by the beach. We got beach, folks. We just deal with weed down there.
Yeah, you can't hide money.
We just deal with marijuana down there.
We already know, Trey.
No, I'm not saying. Look, I'm 30 minutes from Dolphin Island.
A couple boats, a few sea-doos.
No, my dad's got a boat called the Volunteer. It's not like it's some freaking yacht.
Can you say that?
It's called the Volunteer?
Yeah, I mean, that's Tennessee base.
It's my dad's boat. It's not my boat. I didn't name it the Volunteer. I'm not sure I'm biased anybody.
Bias.
What's it, War Eagle Volunteer Wallace now? I mean,
War Eagle Wallace, Tuscaloosa Trey.
Right. If people,
what's your middle name?
You know what, Thomas.
Thomas.
If people only knew.
Thomas kind of works better.
If people only knew my growing up story, they would probably have a change of opinion. We'll be back on the other side. We'll wrap things up. It's optional.
War Eagle.
Fox Sports Knoxville. It's optional. Fox Sports Knoxville. Rolling back in here. About to get news of the day started up. I guess I'm triggered by Ben Shapiro, who honestly, I had no idea who in God's name Ben Shapiro was till Ben Lee just told me who Ben Shapiro was. I was really just going to fight with you. You know, if you needed somebody to help you fight, I was going
to
fight with you.
I'm just trying to find the most famous person with my name to beat ass. Right.
Who's still living.
Who's still living that, yeah, I can beat their ass.
Mine was just Trey Anastasio from Fish.
And so mine was either Ben Affleck, Ben Savage, which I think I could beat Ben Savage up too.
I don't know.
And are you serious?
Well, Ben Savage, I mean, he might have a little on you.
Dude's a goon.
Okay. I mean, I could agree with that. I mean, what about Brandon? Brandon's screwed.
Like, seriously, the kid from, like, he looks like
Boy Meets World?
Yeah.
He would kick your tail.
No way.
Corey?
I would kill Corey from
Boy
Meets World.
Corey would do it in honor of Topanga.
I'd fight him for Topanga.
You're screwed. No, you're screwed. Brandon, what about you? Who's the most famous person that has a Brandon first name?
I don't know. I'm sure there's some like professional athlete named Brandon, so I'd have no chance.
Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, no chance.
Brandon Shaw.
Brandon Phillips.
The boxer.
Brandon Roy. Brandon Lee. Brandon Jennings. Brandon Purst.
I don't know who the last one is, but yeah.
Hockey player. You don't want to fight
no
him.
Chance. I got no shot.
Don't want to fight him.
Too common of a name.
Find him a loser.
No, man. He's retired. He's a retired NHL ice hockey left winger who is currently the coach for the London Knights. No, definitely still don't want to fight him. He's still in the league.
What about Brandon Knight?
No. NBA player?
Yeah, you're not.
No.
Okay, I'm just trying to figure out guys you might be able to take.
I mean, no. Not. There's a lot.
What about
there's
Brandon Orrick?
I think you could take Brandon Orrick.
I think you could take Brandon.
I appreciate your guys' confidence.
It'd be the Twin Tower battle.
Right, exactly.
But, yeah, I think...
going right at it, yeah.
I think you've got the athleticism.
If we gave you, like, gloves and headgear and just set up, like, a ring outside...
I think if you just get him tired, I think you could just work him out.
Right. We'll see. I'm not throwing any shots at Brandon. Brandon Orr might be scrappy.
I mean, everyone on the drive is weak, so...
No, I don't think that at all. I think they have a strong contingent of people. I think they are very good. I am not getting on anybody's bad side at this station until I am ready to pounce.
We'd beat their ass.
And then I would, okay, well, you're mushing yourself in with Cody and John then.
Yeah.
Because I've got Brandon,
hey,
and
talk,
that's it.
Talk Sports sticks together. Brandon, I'd back you up. I'm on It's Optional right now.
I appreciate that.
I mean, if we got to go throw hands with Oreck, that's fine. I think we're running out of time for news of the day.
No, it's no. I know my time frame, and I'm going to get there. Go back and listen to Stephen Bailey. Great interview about Colgate basketball and what Tennessee's looking ahead to. Bram, take it away, buddy. News of the day.
Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while. You could miss it.
All right, taking it from the top. What is today? Today is National Let's Laugh Day. Also, National Poultry Day. All right, and some big news.
Well, I got to go eat today, then.
Police.
We're going Hooters.
Police have arrested the unicorn-costumed robbery suspect, and he has been unmasked. The robbery suspect wore a unicorn costume, and police in Maryland have said he has been unmasked as he was caught I believe, robbing, holding up a liquor store in a unicorn costume.
Yeah, full unicorn costume.
Good on him.
Well, that's going to get caught.
The woman who climbed up the Statue of Liberty a few months ago has been sentenced to probation and community service.
Good for her.
So
she was just trying to hang a banner. That's all she was trying to do. She was protesting something. Oh, okay. Something about whales or something. I don't know.
Who knows?
Save the whales. Save the earth. Whales. Don't. Yeah.
Also, K-Cups for booze. Budweiser owner says Keurig single-use cocktail machines are officially going to be rolled out.
Oh, shoot.
Wait a minute. Repeat that?
They will see, like, you know, K-Cup pods, like for coffee.
Keurig mixed
cocktail
drinks?
Machines, yeah.
Oh, man.
Game changer. Get Brandon bringing the game changers today.
I'm actually excited about that. You just go put a little pod in and
make like a margarita pod.
Pops out Jack and Coke.
Also, a New York mom.
How the hell would that work?
A New York mom gave birth to a 15-pound baby girl.
Good lord!
Like, my goodness, that's the biggest child. Oh. I can remember. She described it as quote pretty violent. All right, moving on. This day in history. On this day, 2003, the war in Iraq officially began. Also, this day, 1931, Nevada legalized gambling. We've gone off the rails. This day, 1966, as Ben mentioned earlier, Texas Western defeated Kentucky in
Racist
the NCAA
Kentucky.
Finals.
Racist rub.
God. You sack. Thanks, everybody, for joining the show today. Thanks to Nick Bromberg and Stephen Bailey for joining the show. We'll have the podcast up soon. This has been It's Optional. The Drive is coming up next on Fan Run Radio.